Good morning and welcome to worship from St. James, West Stretton. Wherever you are this morning, it's great to have your company. Thank you for joining us in worship. And peace be with you. The peace of Jesus. The peace that the world cannot give. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that only comes from Jesus. May peace be with you this morning. So we're back in John's Gospel this week after a break for Pentecost last week. And remember, we're here in John's Gospel because John wants us to see the blood-earnest truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, so that by believing in him, we may have life. And he's building his case slowly but surely by presenting us with seven signs that Jesus performed and seven sayings that Jesus proclaimed, which together form a kaleidoscope of the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. So far, we've seen four signs and one saying, and today we come to the fifth sign. And this fifth sign is squeezed between the fourth sign and the first saying, which we looked at 2 weeks ago in John chapter 6. The sign Jesus performed in Bethsaida on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee when he fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two small fish. And the saying he proclaimed in the synagogue in Capernaum on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee the following day when he proclaimed, "I am the bread of life." This sign today takes place during the night between that sign and that saying, between the feeding of the 5,000 one day and the declaration, "I am the bread of life," the following day. After Jesus performed that miracle of feeding the 5,000, John tells us the crowds intended to make him king by force. John chapter 6, verse 15. So Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. He walks away from the crowd as he so often did. The reason for him going to Bethsaida in the first place with the disciples was to get some downtime, some alone time. Matthew 14 tells us that just before that happened, John the Baptist, the cousin and forerunner of Jesus, had been beheaded by King Herod. Mark 6 tells us that so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat. And so Jesus and the disciples get into the boat, they head for Bethsaida to get some downtime, some quiet time. But once they get there, a crowd of needy people had seen where they were going. They'd gone round the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, arrived before them. As they got out of the boat, they were swamped. And Luke 9 tells us Jesus welcomed them, he healed them, and he taught them about the kingdom of God. And as the day came towards its close, he fed them with five loaves and two small fish. Now, at last, the crowds are gone. Jesus puts the disciples in a boat, sends them back off to Capernaum on the other side of the sea, and he gets some alone time, some personal time, some time to pray and commune with his Father. Matthew chapter 14 tells us that's exactly what Jesus did. He went onto the mountainside by himself to pray. Meanwhile, the 12 disciples are heading across the lake, verse 16 of John chapter 6, we read, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them." Presumably, they thought that as they were rowing across the lake, Jesus would walk around the northern shore a bit like the needy crowds had done earlier that day and join them in the synagogue at Capernaum. But it was hard going for them. Verse 18, "A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough." Matthew tells us in his account they were buffeted by the waves. Mark tells us in his account they were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, it's not unusual on the Sea of Galilee for calm sunshine to turn very quickly into stormy weather. Ask our pilgrims from 2017, when they went from beautiful sunshine on the Mount of Beatitudes, which overlooks the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Within an hour, when they climbed on the boat to sail along the Sea of Galilee, they were in a fierce, wet, windy storm. By the way, at the end of our service today, just after the blessing, you'll see a very brief recording which I made from my bedroom window from our hotel by the Sea of Galilee of sunrise over the Sea of Galilee, just to whet your appetite for next year. The Sea of Galilee is 600 feet below sea level. It's in a bowl surrounded by hills with gaps between the hills. And therefore, it's not unusual for cool air to blow through those gaps between the hills to replace the warm, moist air on the surface of the Sea of Galilee, and very quickly a storm can be stirred. So here they are, in the storm, straining at the oars, not making much headway, about halfway across the Sea of Galilee, 3 or 3.5 miles, according to verse 19. And then they see something that made their eyes pop out on stalks. Verse 19, when they'd rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And they were terrified. I'm reminded of the story of the Pope, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the General Secretary of the Baptist Union, who went for a day's fishing together on the Sea of Galilee, and each one of them was meant to bring something to contribute to lunch. Well, they had a good morning's fishing. When it got to lunchtime, the Pope got out the sandwiches. He said, "Guys, I brought the sandwiches as planned." They ate the sandwiches. At the end of the sandwiches, the Archbishop of Canterbury looked crestfallen. He said, no, I was supposed to bring the dessert. I've got scones and jam and cream, but I've left them on the beach." "Don't worry," said the Archbishop. "I'll just pop back and get them." And he steps out of the boat and he walks across the water. He gets the dessert. He walks back across the water, climbs back into the boat, and they eat the dessert together. The General Secretary of the Baptist Union, his eyes are popping out of his head. When they get to the end of dessert, the Pope and the Archbishop look at the General Secretary of the Baptist Union and say, "Did you bring the wine?" "No," he said, "I've forgotten the wine." "Don't worry, I'll do exactly what the Archbishop did." He steps out of the boat, takes 2 steps, and sinks like a stone to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. Quite appropriate for a Baptist, I think. At which point, the Pope turns to the Archbishop and said, "You really should have told him about the stepping stones." Well, Jesus didn't need stepping stones on that night. He walked across the surface of the water. The whole point of the sign is to show us that that's the kind of thing that Jesus can do. They were terrified. Verse 19, as Jesus approached the boat walking on the water, they were terrified. Well, I'm not surprised. Matthew and Mark both tell us in their accounts that they thought he was a ghost or a spirit or literally an apparition. They'd not seen this kind of thing before. It's not the kind of thing a human being can do. John tells us that Jesus was approaching the boat. Mark tells us he was about to pass by. And the verse 20, Jesus says to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Or literally, "I am. Do not be afraid." He's not just saying, "It's me, it's Jesus. You don't need to be afraid." We know in John's gospel, those words mean something so much more and so much deeper. "I am Yahweh," the personal name for God. "I am God. Do not be afraid." That's why he can walk on the water. He created the sea. He controls the sea. It's no problem for him to walk across the surface. And they get it. Matthew tells us in Matthew 14 that they say, "Truly you are the Son of God." The penny drops. They understand the significance of the sign. Jesus climbs into the boat. Mark tells us the wind died down as he climbs in. And then John tells us in verse 21, Immediately, the boat reached the shore where they were heading. That's another miracle. He walks across the water. He climbs into the boat. The wind dies down. The storm is stilled. And immediately, they reach the shore where they were heading. Now, we're getting used in this sermon series from John's Gospel. In fact, even from Pentecost last Sunday, we're getting used to making the connections between the New Testament and the Old Testament. And there are two connections here that I want us to see this morning to help us understand what those disciples would have understood on that night. The first connection is with the Psalms. Psalm 89 and verse 8 says this: O Yahweh God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Yahweh, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. This is God, Jesus, who created the sea, who rules over the sea, who flattens the waves when they mount up. Or better still, Psalm 107 and verse 23 says this: Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of Yahweh, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. And they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Immediately, the boat arrived at the shore that they were heading to. This is God. This is Jesus, who is able to stir up a storm in a moment and is able to still the storm by his mighty power. So interesting that earlier on in Psalm 107 in verse 8, we read this: Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So Psalm 107, a psalm that is written to praise Yahweh, I am, the God of Israel, says he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things, and then he stills the storm to a whisper. And here in John 6, we have Jesus, who feeds the hungry with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then declares, I am the bread of life. And walks across the water, which he created and controls, and declares his name, I am. So it's a lovely link with the Psalms from the Old Testament. The second Old Testament link is all the way back in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 33 and verses 18 and 19, Moses, who is leading the people of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land, asks God a wonderful question. He says this, verse 18, Moses said, Now, show me your glory. What a request. Show me your glory. Verse 19, Exodus 33, the Lord said, Yahweh said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So Moses says, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to see your goodness. And God says, I'll make my glory pass by in front of you. And I'll declare my name. I am Yahweh, the compassionate and merciful God, but you can't see my face and survive the experience. Here in John's Gospel, we read that Jesus is about to pass by. It's the same word Mark uses it in his account. Jesus is about to pass by as he walks across the water, and he declares his name. I am. Do not be afraid. And they see his face. Moses was not able to see the face of God and live. God had to hide him in a cleft in the rock while he passed by and declared his name. But here, the disciples see Jesus about to pass by, hear him declare his name, I am Yahweh, and they see his face, and they survive to tell the story. This same Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, comes to us this morning, walking into our storms with his mercy and his compassion, making his presence known in our chaos. Whether that's the chaos of COVID-19 or the murder of George Floyd or the passing of our dear friend and colleague, Reverend Julie Connell at St. Paul's. Whether it's fear for the future or your own health or that of your family, whatever your chaos, whatever your storm might be this morning, his glory and his goodness are present with you. He speaks his name into your fear. I am. Do not be afraid. And he'll take us by his supernatural power and in his perfect time to our desired haven, our destination, out of the storm. For as Psalm 46 rightly says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In fact, because of John 6, we can say this, Jesus is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Jesus Almighty is with us. Jesus is our fortress. So be still and know that he is God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for John's gospel. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring John to write that gospel by your Spirit. Thank you that what he wrote is truth. Thank you for the way it points us to see who you are and what you're like. Father, we pray this morning that Jesus might walk across the water into our storm and our chaos and bring his peace and his presence and his power. Come, Lord Jesus, we welcome you. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon you and upon those you love and pray for, and remain with you this day and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.